Hello, Market Watcher. I'm David Ravel, and this is ValueSign.com for midday. For all of our podcasts, articles, references, and charts, visit ValueSign.com. Today, Biden nominates a radical for comptroller, plus India reports stunning inflation numbers. All that just ahead. In the wee hours of the morning, India, the world's second most populous country, just posted some stunning economic numbers. Reported first was the Indian inflation rate, which came in at a sky-high 12.5% annualized, driven no doubt mainly by the 37% increase in the price of fuel. Now that's the kind of economic hit that can make economic growth extremely problematic, as firms are forced to completely adjust their budgets to meet the high cost of transportation, factory fuels, and heating. On a more positive note, Indian manufacturing in October was up a respectable 12%, making it the second-best manufacturing performance in the world, behind only Switzerland. And of course, India has much the larger manufacturing base. Now, a quick look at the markets shows mainly red, as stocks, bonds, gold, cryptos, and oil are all currently lower. Stay tuned for today's market comment, our look at Saleh Omarova, the nominee for comptroller of the currency. Well, Saleh Omarova is President Biden's nominee for the next comptroller of the currency. Now, the comptroller of the currency is the chief regulator for all the nation's banks and thrifts. As such, she would be perhaps the most influential person in determining the future of our banking system. And by my estimation, she's the most radical nominee for this position ever. To fully understand why I say this, let me tell you a story. A story which today will probably feel closer to a fairy tale than to reality. But I assure you that once upon a time, it really did happen. Now, there once lived a man who may have been wealthy, I really don't know, but each month for as long as I knew him, for over a decade, this man would bring a simple slip of paper, maybe something closer to a postage stamp, and each month my office would pay him money for that paper, generally several thousand dollars. Now, this man did not appear to be wealthy. In fact, he appeared to have a very modest lifestyle, living by himself in an upscale apartment. A very nice place, but something that would cost nowhere near the thousands of dollars we paid him each month from those slips of paper that he brought into the office. And let me assure you that all of this activity was strictly legal. There was nothing that either the man did, and certainly nothing that we did, that was not carefully examined by state and federal regulators and demonstrated to be strictly on the up and up. Now, where was this place, you're probably wondering, although the better question is really, when was this place? For you see, the place was America, and it's the when that's important. The when was nearly 50 years ago, here in these United States. You see, it was in my early days as a stockbroker, and that was in the early 1970s. And the man was my client. He invested in bonds, and by all appearances must have had a very large portfolio. But I really never knew how large, because he kept all of the bonds in bearer certificates, actual certificates, and each bond certificate had attached to it several little interest coupons, about a 2-inch by 2-inch little stamp-looking thing, which detailed how much interest he should receive and the payment date for that coupon. He would bring the certificates to us at the broker office, where we would literally clip those coupons for him and pay him what he was due. It was a service that we provided, and not just for him, but as a young broker starting out, I was assigned several of these kinds of clients. Most were older and didn't generate a lot of commission, so the brokerage house was okay with passing them off to a young guy. And this wasn't some new innovation that just thought of in the 70s. This was how the American capital system had operated for over a century. Think of it. My client had complete financial privacy, safe from the workings of unscrupulous frauds that prey on the elderly today, safe from scams and hacks that come for online financial accounts, and safe, dare I say, from a government who sees your savings as their revenue. Now, just a side note, yes, for U.S. government bills and notes and for all corporate bonds, the registrar and transfer agent had records of my client's positions. But this was before the internet, before prying eyes could see everything he did constantly. I was thinking about this when Soleil Omarova, the new nominee for Comptroller of the Currency, made some of her recent remarks. In addition to wanting to put oil, gas, and coal and all carbon-based energy companies out of business, something that's become almost a mantra since President Obama expressed similar sentiments about a decade ago, but it was her most recent vision for the Federal Reserve which really caught my attention. In Ms. Omarova's world, whose academic training incidentally is in political science and the law, but at least she did do a little work as an undergraduate in economics. After all, her undergraduate thesis was on Karl Marx. Nonetheless, in her vision for the U.S. financial system, she sees the Federal Reserve, in addition to its current responsibilities, morphing into the nation's sole commercial bank, handling all deposits, all checks, and presumably all savings by the American citizens. It would, after all, make distributing those stimulus checks so much easier, don't you know? Now, personally, I was hoping that we would see the end of the stimulus checks after a while, something about a growing economy raising all boats and all of that stuff. But I digress. The principal impact of this new role for the Fed would be complete stem-to-stern monitoring of each and every American's finances. Nothing would be beyond the view of the all-knowing, all-seeing Federal Reserve, which now not only would watch your complete financial life, they'd also control it. Of course, Omarova sees this new all-seeing Fed as nothing more than a convenience. It would make things like paying taxes, fines, and fees to the government so much easier. Oh, joy. All these funds would simply be collected before the citizen would be able to withdraw anything from the bank. You know, withdraw for things like life's essentials, food and shelter. But at least you'll be happy to know that the government would be paid and, of course, able to monitor every last detail of your financial life. Absolutely nothing would escape the overarching view of our friends in Washington. So there you have it. Two very different approaches to finance. One from my little old client clipping coupons from long ago, and the other from the most radical nominee for a major financial position in this government that I believe we've ever had in our history. One of these was American, one is not. And that's ValueSign.com for Monday, November 15. For all our podcasts, articles, references, and charts, visit ValueSign.com. I'm David Revelle. Please join me in praying that our country may get back to work.